All right, well, let's get started, see if this is going to work for me. There we go. All right, it's a joy to be with you again today, and we're going to, for those of you who've been with us all week, we've been spent a lot of time at 30,000 feet. Today we're going to get on the ground floor and give you some tools and some techniques and just some ideas that you can actually use when it comes to navigating this world of technology. For those of you who don't know me, who may be in here for the first time, my name is Walter Serdacki. I am an associate professor of youth ministry at Lipscomb University. I'm the father of two teenage daughters. I know you're going, you have teenage daughters? You're so young, you only look 18. That's okay. It's okay. I started when I was three. So I've got a daughter who's a sophomore and a daughter who's junior. So I am right in the thick of some of the stuff that we're doing and talking about today and journeying together as a family. On a side note, this week, my daughters have not had access to their phones because of poor choices. So we don't get it perfect. Neither do my kids get it perfect. So don't think, wow, Walter, you've got it all together. So what I want to start with, though, is this idea of guardrails. So if you're driving down the freeway, and let me back up, because a lot of times I've got parents who ask me, hey, Walter, what age should my daughter get fill-in-the-blank technology? How old is old enough for them to get to fill-in-the-technology? And my answer to that is, well, it depends. Spoken like a true academic should, you know, it depends. Never come down with a hard and fast answer. But hopefully I'll give you some guidelines that you can use as we journey through today. So, you're driving down a freeway and you see these guardrails on the side of the road. Now, a guardrail is one of those things that if I happen to do the thing that you're not supposed to do while you're driving and start checking your Instagram feed or tweet out something or start texting, and you bump up and scrape up against one of these, it kind of wakes you back up and you're like, oh no, you know, they're there to protect us at some level or another. Or you've got the sleep bumps on the side of the road as well. But if you choose to ignore the guardrail and say you're flying at 45, 50, 55 miles an hour and decide to smack straight into that guardrail is not going to do very much good for you. So I use that as a disclaimer to say some of these guardrails that we're going to talk about are there to protect and to guide and to recorrect as we and our children navigate this world of technology. But if we ourselves or our students choose to just plain ignore them, there's not much we can do. So I don't want to give you a false sense of hope and safety because of there's nothing that is 100% when it comes to technology safety on the internet. With that being said, let me share with you some guardrails, some simple tools that you can use today to just help your sons and daughters kind of navigate the internet, quote, and I put in big quotes, safely. And before I talk about even your sons and daughters, I think this is stuff for ourselves as well. And so the tools that I use are tools that help me and keep me kind of within the lanes as I'm going on my journey. The first one is just simple. It's a little settings in Google where you'll see it right down here in the bottom right corner. You click on, I'll give you a quick demo, you click on the settings button, and up will pop this search settings thing, and you want to turn on safe search, where you will filter your, it'll help filter your search topics. Again, it takes you 50 seconds, maybe 60 seconds, save it, and then you're ready to go. Not 100% accurate, I mean perfect, but it's a level of safety, and it's a level of boundary. Now, let me get back to my illustration of guardrails. When my daughters were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, the guardrails that we had for them were much higher. Come on in. Don't be shy. the guardrails that we had for our daughters were much stronger, much higher, right? The older my daughters got, the lower those guardrails get. The longer they go by kind of proving themselves and their maturity and their decision making, the lower those go. Now, I've got a daughter who's finishing her junior year. Next year she's going to be a senior in our house. And my idea is we get rid of the guardrails. And you're like, Walter, your house, your rules. I get that. But I want her to have no guardrails at home, because when she goes off to Oxford or the Sorbonne or Harvard next year, she's not going to have guardrails there. And I'd much rather her fail under my roof than under her dorm room roof, which she'll may or may not do. So that's my best answer to how old is old enough. But I'll come back to that in a little bit. YouTube has a similar function. So you scan down to the bottom, very, very bottom. See, they make this real easy. And it says, I think it's called safety. Man, I need my readers for that, and I'm this close to it. So, again, it'll try to filter some of the more explicit content that's on there. You have to sign in and those kinds of things. These are those kinds of tools. These first two tools are really great tools for those of you who have much younger kids. It keeps them from stumbling upon things here and there that you might not want them to stumble upon. The third one is my favorite. It's the idea, it's a tool called OpenDNS. Now, I don't need to get into the long and the short of what DNS is. It's basically the yellow pages of the internet. It's when you type in google.com, it goes to your internet provider and gives an address that's full of a bunch of numbers and kicks it and sends you over to google.com. What OpenDNS does is it takes you to your internet provider's basic yellow pages and takes you to another OpenDNS's basic yellow pages. And what it does is, let's say your son or daughter says, okay, I want to go to victoriasecret.com. It'll go to OpenDNS and it'll say, oh, wait, no, you blocked that one, and kick it back. And I'll show you what that looks like. You use it because it's a layer of protection. It's easy. It's free. It protects you from misspellings, especially if you have younger children as well. Because you've known of students who type in something accidentally, and you find yourself going, how in the world did I wind up here? So here's what it looks like. You click on the personal one. They have and parental controls. They have paid versions. There is no need for you to do the paid versions. And you sign in, so we'll sign in here really quickly. And in case you're wondering, my password's dot, 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 so you guys can steal that. And it'll give you a list of all sorts of different routers of how to set it up for your house. And all you're doing is you're going into your router, you're changing a couple settings. It's really easy and quick to do. So it'll give you basic directions of how to do that. So once you sign up for an account, which is free, and then change these numbers, these DNS address numbers in your router, you're all good to go. These numbers are what you're changing your DNS settings. You don't need to know what that all means. But let me show you what it looks like then once you have signed in and set it up. We're waiting. So you go to your dashboard then here, and you can have all sorts of options of how you want to filter your web content from high, medium, low, that you just let them decide. Or they give you all these different categories that we went through, from tobacco to tasteless to weapons to things like that. And then you can also do individual domains where you like never block Lipscomb.edu, always block Harding.edu. just kidding. And it works at the router level. Yes.
I thought I tried to do that, and I have AT&T users Right.
That's an excellent question. We had AT&T for a while like that. What you have to do then is just buy a separate router for all your wireless and wired traffic. And then once you buy that, and you can buy a router for $50, yeah. You know, probably even cheaper. And then you call AT&T and tell them what you're doing, and they'll set the box that they already sent you up as a bridge, basically.
Sorry for that inconvenience. Yeah, that's frustrating with some of the companies like that. So here's kind of what it looks like then. So you're going www.playboy.com, and then here's what will happen. Oops, here comes the splash screen. This domain is blocked due to content filtering. You're even able to put your own little graphic there if you want. And the site's blocked. And for some reason, if it's a site that shouldn't be blocked, your student, your son, your daughter can send you an email that says, "Hey, Dad, can I please go to this site? Fat chance, son, you're not going to Playboy.com." And this actually happened to me when my daughter was like 12 and a half, 13 years old. She was on the internet. She wanted to go to VictoriasSecret.com. I got the little email saying, "Hey, Dad, can I go on this site?" I had a minor heart attack because my little girl's going to VictoriasSecret.com, and we decided, no, not yet on that. You can go again through all the different categories. They have pornography, they have peer-to-peer networking, file sharing sites that you can check and say no. If you're German, you can block humor sites. They had humor sites as a category. So you can customize it however you want. The other thing you can do too is on that always block, never block on your dashboard. We had a week where one of our kids was grounded from Netflix. So you just go to www.netflix.com, you know, and then you go back a week later and undo it. And so it's a really easy way to do it. Another reason why this is so effective is it's at the router level. So all your internet traffic that's going through that router gets filtered. This is also an effective tool because we have yet to find sites that we need to go to for research, for homework, for our own personal lives that has been blocked that we really needed to get to. And again, if in the case that you say, "Hey, I really need to get to this site," you can do the never block setting on there. It's curious. Our university uses this. A lot of major companies use this. The funny thing about our university, I belong to a professional association called the Association of Youth Ministry Educators. I know, sounds pretty sexy, doesn't it? It was blocked at Lipscomb for some reason. I don't know what happened there. But here's the other thing I really like about it. So some of my daughter's friends come over and they go, "Hey, Mr. Serdacki, what's your Wi-Fi password?" I can give them my Wi-Fi password because I know that the Wi-Fi that I'm providing for them is safe for them. Here's the one caveat. Your son or daughter has a smartphone, or the friends have a smartphone and they're in your house, and they turn off the Wi-Fi, the smartphone still has cell signal, and the cell signal is not blocked. There are some tools for that. XXXchurch.com is a ministry that was started by guys ministering to people in the adult film industry, and they've got some monitoring software. There's other services out there as well. But I needed to give you that caveat for what it does and does not protect for you. Number four is to make yourself aware of the different privacy settings that's available to you. By default, many of the social networking sites set the privacy settings very low. So let me give you an example. My daughter opens up a Twitter account or an Instagram account, and you have the option of only letting people you approve follow you or not. So any old Joe who finds you on the Twitter feeds can follow you, or you've got to say, "No, I got to make sure
I know who that person is before I prove them to follow me. That's one of the contracts we have with our daughters. So we'll go and we'll look at their list of followers every so often to make sure we know who their followers are and those people who they are following as well. I can tell you about Facebook, but quite honestly, not many teens are still on Facebook. But there's several settings of, can friends of mine see my stuff or friends of mine see my stuff? And let's say I'm friends with you, but you're not discerning about your friends. You let everybody follow you from Adolf Hitler to Justin Bieber and all sorts of evil in between those two. And you can figure out which side of that spectrum's evil. I tend to go on the Justin Bieber side. So Justin Bieber could see all my stuff because they're a friend of yours. So we like to set those at friends only. Number five is Plugged In. Plugged In is a really great resource for parents. So let's say you have a son or a daughter. She comes home. Hey, Mom, my friends and I want to go see Columbiana. I need to update this reference because it's a little old. We want to rent or download Columbiana off Apple TV. And you're like, never heard of it. What's it rated? PG-13. Okay. But I want to know a little bit more. I want to know what we're kind of getting into. So you look it up on PluggedIn.com. And it will tell you all sorts of positive elements in it. It'll give you spiritual content that you can have some discussion points on, but also talk to you about sexual content, violent content, language, those kinds of things. It's run by Focus on the Family. IMDb has some of this kind of content on it as well. IMDb isn't, I don't think, Christian. I know it's not Christian-based. This is run by Focus on the Family. It's a little more conservative for some, but the great thing is you know what you're getting into ahead of time, and you can make the decision on there. So again, language, drug, alcohol, other negative elements, and they come up with a conclusion.
Is there such a thing for books? I have avid readers, and they want to read adult fiction. And I'm like, no, even adult fiction only. But I wish there was some sort of site that actually rated literature.
That's a really excellent question. I know they do video games, they do music as well. CPYU might do some of that. I don't know. That's an excellent question. Something for me to research between now and the next time. I saw a hand over here. Did I? Nope. All right. The other area is your OS's parental controls are usually very, very powerful. So about 10 years ago, my sister handed us down a laptop she wasn't using anymore for our girls to use. And we were trying to figure out how do we kind of let them use this. And we want to think very intentionally about how do we help train them how to kind of get on the internet and use the internet responsibly. I still remember when I was about 12, 13 years old, my friend's dad, David's dad, bought the first Apple computer that was out there, and we would spend hours upon hours upon hours in front of a screen. So if you look in the OS parental controls, one of the things that you'll find is you can have time limits. I'm showing you Mac. I'm pretty sure PC has similar ideas. So you can say, okay, limit computer use to an hour a day or an hour and a half a day on the weekdays and on the weekends. You can have times where they're not even allowed to log into this. And again, these are when kids, I think, are younger. So we were able to present this computer to them with their own accounts and say, you get to use the computer an hour a day. Spend it however you want. And when their time was up, a little thing pops up, says your time's running out in 15 minutes. Do you want to extend your time? And me or Mom would have to punch in our username and password to be able to extend it. Case they're in the middle of doing homework, working on a project, and there's reason for them to have that. Otherwise, we don't have to sit there and think, now what time did Billy get on the internet? It's a really, really great tool for that. And number seven is your browser history. We're all familiar with those. You click on this little arrow over here, and you can see all the things that they've been looking at. So let's say your son or daughter has just spent the last 45 minutes online. You go, you click on that, and you're like, oh, Billy, I see you went to the Pirate Bay, a torrent site. What were you looking for? What did you download? But here's where I, again, this is not a foolproof thing. There are settings in browsers of how to just be private browsing that doesn't record your tracks, or there's ways where you can selectively or automatically just delete all your history as well. And so this is what I tell parents when it comes to a browser history, or spouses. Let's say they've been online for the last hour. You go, you click on history, and you see there's nothing there. Let's have a discussion. Let's talk. I'll get to that in a minute of kind of how to do that. So those are just seven of those guardrails that I think are really, really helpful as we move on. Any questions before we move on? I know I'm going really fast, trying to do a lot in a short amount of time. Let me just give you some basic tips, and I want to just fly through these. Some of these are things that we've already talked about. Number one is just keeping Sabbath hours. Have Sabbath hours daily, and perhaps even work towards a Sabbath day where, you know, on these days we're just not going to do technology. To give ourselves margin to think about what's going on. Find the power button on our devices. That was one of the things we talked about on Wednesday. Have some maintain some self-free zones in your home. Talked about having our bedroom is a place where we don't have cell phones. We all our bedrooms, so we charge our devices downstairs or in another room. The dinner table is another one of those cell-free zones. Or when we go out to eat, the restaurant tables are all cell-free zones for us now, because I'm like, if I'm going to spend $50, $60, $70 on us to eat out, I want us to be there together. Number three is building accountability. And checking your students' texts or following their Facebook, Twitter accounts, those kinds of things. You're just seeing what they're doing online. Twitter has really great features that you can receive notifications every time your son or daughter's account tweets something, and that pops up on my screen, and I can see what they've done. IFTTT, if this, then that, is another site where you can set up these recipes. So now every time my daughter's post something to Instagram, it shoots me a text message with a link that takes me to that photo so I can see what they're putting up there in real time. It usually takes 2-3 minutes for me to get this. The other thing we've done is before we got them their first cell phones, my wife Googled kind of cell phone contracts, and we wrote up a cell phone covenant. This isn't exactly it, but it's a covenant that we have. What we did is we said, before we give you the cell phone, we want to make an agreement. If you email me, I'll send you a copy of this, and you can copy and paste it, edit it however you want. So what we did is we gave my daughter the contract. She read over it. And then we sat down around the kitchen table, and we had her read it out loud, kind of line by line, to make sure we were all on the same page when it came to what we were talking. And we have some line zeros. I will not sext. And she didn't want to read that out loud. She read it out loud. We're like, what does that mean? It's like, Dad, we had some really interesting conversations about stuff we've already, you know, doing youth ministry as long as we've done it, stuff we've seen students do and choices that they wish they could undo, and we want to avoid as much of that as possible. So we had a nice, long conversation. And so the times where we've had to come back to that have been really helpful. Here's the interesting thing on this covenant. It's a covenant that we follow as well as parents. So one of the lines is, we won't text or receive texts or check our phones at the table. And every once in a while, we'll be at the table and we'll talk about something, and I want to Google it because it's part of our conversation. I pull up my phone, and my daughter calls me. She says, Dad, no cell phones at the table. I'm like, you're right. You're right. So so those are some tools that I think are helpful.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We provide the service for them, and because of that, since it's our names on the account, we have we're on the hook for whatever happens. Because when we're talking about cell phone lines and internet lines, we're talking about a federal responsibility. So, for example, if you were to sext, we're partially responsible for it. Or if you download movies illegally, I'm the one who has to pay the fine for it because it's my internet pipe that I'm providing for you. So we give our daughters the option of, that's fine. If you want to pay the $50 a month plus the $30 for data, you're welcome to do that yourself. They choose to not. They choose to let me foot the bill. And because of that, you know. They got really mad. We canceled Netflix because my wife and I weren't using it anymore. And they're like, but it's my constitutional right to watch unlimited episodes of Grey's Anatomy. And I'm like, no, it's not. That sounds jerky, but that's where we have to come down to it. Say, you know, it's my name on this as well. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is I don't like the language contract. I like covenant. And saying, no, we agree to this because we're trying to help one another become the best people that God created us to be. This is getting harder and harder to do. I really probably need to take this one up, but try to develop an open system where computers are in plain sight. Now with smartphones and tablets, that's getting to be just far more complicated to do.
How about iPods? Like, I saw you were looking at browsing history and everything like that. We took our son, who's 15, his ability to get on the internet off of the iPod because of offenses, and so that's gone. And also, he can't download an app. He has to get a permission to download apps.
Excellent, yeah.
Okay. But I was wondering, is that enough protection? I mean, he's still not allowed in the bedroom alone with it, even though we have all those protections.
I think those are great as long as you're doing it as an accountability partner, not as a policeman. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. Because if I was 14 or 15 and I had the access to what 14 or 15 year olds have access to, I'd be a wreck. You know, I had enough access to just a little bit of stuff when I was 14 or 15 and it was bad enough. I can't imagine what it is. And so all the help and as open as you can be about it. And I'll come back to some of that, too, when we get to this. Help your students know that people are watching. What they put up there stays up there for a long, long time. But most importantly, be the example yourselves. Here's what we're finding, though, is parents are being just as distracted now as adolescents. This is from Catherine Steiner-Adair. She says, parents' chronic distraction can have a deep and lasting effect on their children. Children feel the disconnect. And the message we communicate with our preoccupation and responsive to calls and emails is, everything else matters more than you. So I just wonder, what do you struggle with the most when it comes to your own use of technology? What would your sons or daughters call you on? Things like, have you been texting and driving? Do you check your phone at the restaurant dinner table? Are you, my wife called me on, and this thing I've been working on a lot over the last 6 months is, Walter, you're a two-screen person. So I'll be watching TV and I'll be doing this at the same time. And I've been learning to just try to even make the living room a space where we don't have our technology. So one of my biggest frustrations the last year within our family is we get together to watch a movie together as a family, and people have a second screen out. And what will happen is something will happen, we'll laugh, or we'll go, and whoever was on their screen was, what happened? I'm like, sorry, you missed it. You know, but it's so frustrating. We want to have that shared experience. All right, and then teach manners and etiquette. So imagine this is your son or this is your daughter. You've been waiting 18, 20, 25 years for this. For me, it's going to be 45, 50 years before I want them to get married. But just what? Why?
Dana is updating his relationship status.
Updating his relationship status. I'm surprised by just some of the when it comes to netiquette and manners, how much we've just lost some of that. And I don't want to blame students for that. I don't think that's their fault. I think it's our responsibility. I think it's our responsibility as adults to teach and train them. When we moved from California to Nashville, we had to teach our daughters, you got to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir. I'm like, why? We never said that before. Because it'll appear rude. That's stupid. I agree, maybe. I don't know. We kind of like it. We just got to teach them. We can't, you know, when we see kids all that doing whatever we do, then we're just like, we've got to take our role and responsibility. So, last thing I want to do is talk to you about, what do I do then with these guardrails? How do I use these guardrails? First and foremost is give positive and legal options, right? We talked about piracy and internet piracy and those kinds of things. You give your students access to some of the media that they want and look for so they don't have to resort to those backdoor channels. So, for example, Hulu or Netflix, or Spotify and Pandora Plus. A lot of students are on Spotify, so this is not as important anymore. But iTunes also has a really interesting feature that you can assign an allowance to your son or daughter. So my wife has given me a $10 a month allowance that I get on the first of every month. And we're teaching them to spend that however you want. Spend that freely. Enjoy it. And just, again, training your students how to engage in buying media. Because, like I said on Wednesday, two people in our life group are accomplished songwriters. Their income depends on the consumption and purchase of media. And so if I download their music illegally, they don't get paid. And I have to look in their daughter's, Carmen's beautiful eyes and say, sorry, Carmen, you're not going to college and you're not going to eat because I wanted your daddy's song for free. Here's a bonus one. Let's read something. Right? Maybe read something together as a family. All right. Number two, don't police, but build accountability. Now, we've been fortunate that my daughters have been, for the most part, okay. But part of our contract is you will give us your access code. So one of the reasons why one of our daughters doesn't have her phone is she won't give us her access code. And she continues to not give it to us, which makes us a little nervous. We don't know what we're going to find behind that. But let me couple this with another idea. Don't police, but build accountability. We had a parent in our church who talked about, you know, my dad had this old pickup truck. And when I got to be about 12, 13 years old, he took me out on this pickup truck and we were on a drive and he said, son, I want to tell you why I have this pickup truck. He says, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me here. Be no consequences to you. I won't punish you. I won't get angry at you. I won't do anything. Consider this our confession. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, Walter, I can't afford a broken, beaten down, another truck and the insurance that would require. That's fine. You don't need a truck to do that. We've got a restaurant in Nashville that's called the Puffy Muffin, right? You can pick a restaurant that you wouldn't normally go to, right? Dad, let's go to Waffle House. A code word. Build a code word. Mom, let's go get steaks. You know, I don't know what it, you figure it out. You be creative. But build that safe space to say, you know what? I'd much rather you tell me than I find it out. And I want to be able to do this journey with you together. That's where I think the police and the accountability can come in really handy. So find a space like that where you, with your children, can have that safe space for them to say whatever you want. And you not get upset. You know, Dad, I've become a Cowboys fan. I'll pray through that one. All right. And then in those cases where your kids fail, use that evidence not to come down on them, but to begin a conversation. Genesis 3:13, when we read about the fall, this is when Adam and Eve are hiding, and Adam and God finds out what they've been doing. I used to read this passage as this God kind of boisterously saying, "What in the world have you done?" And I know as parents we might have come across this way, but I read this much differently now that my kids are older. I see God coming upon the scene, and I can imagine some of the stuff we've come across on the screens of our kids. And my response is, "Oh, sweetheart, what have you done?" See how that's much different? That's the accountability that that I hope we can build when it comes to this. Number four is prepare yourself and your student for failure. Failure will happen at some level or another. I go back to when, if you're a boy, think about what some of the first words you looked up when you got a dictionary. You know what I'm talking about? I looked up boobies, you know. I just said boobies in church. Can't stop saying boobies. Failure is going to happen at some level or another. So that's why we can't just kind of freak out when it comes to some of this stuff. And so let's go back to having a conversation instead of just throwing down the hammer and saying, "Give me your phone." So, like I told you, both my daughters don't have their phones right now. When I get back tomorrow, we're sitting down when all four of us are together, and we're going to just sit down and talk and say, "Here's what's going on." Because otherwise, what would have happened is I've had to have the last 5 or 6 days to really process, how am I going to be able to come across with this? One of my daughters really tried to force the conversation on Monday, and if I bowed to her on that, I would have come across as, "What have you done?" I don't want to do that. It's been frustrating for her to not have her phone for a week, but it's also been good because it's been AP exams this week, so she hasn't had that distraction. But it's going to be that's what it's taken for me to have the space to come into this conversation without the emotion that's going to make me angry, and have the compassion that we're going to need to have when it comes to that. So again, don't lecture. Create a culture of failure. One of the things Kara Powell says is around their dinner table, and we do this from time to time, is we talk about our highs of the days, we talk about our lows of the days, and we talk about a mistake that we've made. So that they can see we're not perfect, and they point that out the older they get. But we're not creating this culture that says we have to have it all together. We talked about the safe space to confess. But also, make sure they have several qualified people they can go to in the event of a failure. That's our life group, parents. I think about Brad, I think about Don, and I think about Chris and Gail. Those are those people that, in the case of a kind of catastrophic failure, those are going to be some men or women who can speak into the lives of our kids in the event of a catastrophic failure. And lastly, all these things that I've talked about, it won't go back. Just pick two. There is a lot of stuff that I've talked about in a short amount of time, and some personality types are going to be, "I got to do all this right now." Just pick two and build those into your, otherwise, some, you know, because some of you are liable to go home and say, "There's a new sheriff in town. Smithville is now Germany in the 1930s. And it's going to be a whole new reasoning." No, just add one, and add another, and then add another. So pick two. I want to make sure I leave some time now for some Q&A. So anything that I can kind of help answer, any questions you guys have? Yeah.
Apps. My son, we've allowed to have BuzzFeed, and I wonder, do you know anything about that? I haven't downloaded it myself and looked through it on YouTube.
I've looked at some of it. It's usually, 17 things about this or 10 things. There's a whole variety of stuff, because I think some of those little thumbnails I see of other types of articles are, you know, we're all adults here, you know, 18 side boob pictures, and, you know, those kind of, there, so there's a variety of content there.
We found Pinterest to be, they could find adult books on there, actually.
It does not surprise me. Pinterest might have a parental controls on, or a content setting on that as well. Good. Any other questions? Well, I want to just encouraged and I admire you guys sitting through this and the courage that you have to kind of conquer some of this. You have my contact information on the handouts. If you have any questions, if you want a copy of our cell phone contract, that kind of stuff, feel free to email me. Happy to send you a copy of that. Anything else pops up, I'd love to help you. I do this kind of stuff for churches all across the country, where we bring a whole bunch of parents in together. If you want to partner with a couple of churches and do that kind of thing, love to serve you guys in any ways like that. But if you would, before we're done, I would love to pray for you. So would you bow with me? Father, it is sometimes overwhelming. There are many times where we believe we need to have a kind of a computer degree in order to kind of know how to keep ahead of things. And the reality is we'll never perhaps be able to be one or two steps ahead of our sons or daughters when it comes to this. So would you let us know, again, how to use some of these tools and these guardrails to just journey together? And would you give us the courage it takes to put down our own devices so we can be present for our sons and daughters? And we give us the patience that it'll take to engage in conversations in those times that we may have to stumble across stuff that we didn't want to stumble across in histories and feeds. And give us all the words to be distributors of your grace. Thank you for these men and women and the ministry that they will provide to their families and to their friends. And to their sons and their daughters. It's in Christ I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everyone.